Captain Manu Muskegon, August the 4th. It's time for Touring It To You, your show, only show for news, information, and more. We are live and on radio. You can catch us on our Facebook sites, on the 103.7 The Beat, man, and M106 Rock and Soul. Gotta wake up, bro. Gotta wake up, bro. How you doing?
I am good, my brother. Had a little lapse there, huh?
Well, hey, when you get up at 7 o'clock and go work out, my brother's tired.
Yeah, still at it, brother?
We still on it. Still on it.
I see it a little bit. I see it a little bit, brother.
Yeah.
Good for you. So, good for both of you.
Yeah. The weather fine out there. Lovely day. We got so much to talk about. There's going to be a primary election this Tuesday in the city of Muskegon alone, in two wards, Ward 2 and Ward 4. We have talked to all of the candidates. The last candidate that we're actually going to talk to today. She served for 4 years. And she is the incumbent. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Teresa Emery. How you doing?
Hi, everybody.
Good. Hi, Teresa. How's it going?
Oh, great, Greg.
Good afternoon.
And how about with you? Nice to meet you, Melvin.
Nice to meet you as well.
How's it going? Great. All right, Teresa. Tell everybody a little bit about you.
About me. There's a lot, because I've lived a very long, healthy, busy life. I spent 20 years working with juvenile court and juvenile delinquents. 9 of those years were at Child and Family Services and a residential treatment center. Then went on to manage a income tax office. And from there, I went to owning my own income tax office, which I owned. It was on Apple Avenue. It was Liberty Tax Service, and I had it for 14 years. I have been involved with the neighborhood and the city for more years than I can't think back of when I wasn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
I've been vice president of Lakeside Neighborhood Association for over 10 years. Been very active in anything going on in the neighborhood. Have attended commission meetings for over 10 years. Planning commission meetings. Very active anyway. With all Pastor, things City of Muskegon.
All right, Pastor Byrne.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about why you decided to run for a seat again.
I decided to run again to finish the work that I began in the first 4 years. You know, and my first four years was actually short-lived and affected by COVID. Mm-hmm. And so I was sworn in January of 2020, and then all happened in our world, literally in our world. And so I feel like I wasn't able to get my 2 feet on the ground in those first couple years. And I have now since then been able to get things started and that I want to see happening in our city.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the things that you feel are you've been involved in as a success.
Making sure that businesses along our lakefront have public access. Such as Adelaide Point and And when we, hopefully when we see Sappy property get developed, we'll also push for public, to keep public access for it. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I've been involved in was recreating the Parks and Rec division that we knew as children growing up.
Thank you very much, by the way.
Yeah. We're trying hard to gather the monies to replace the playground equipments that were had to be taken out because they didn't pass inspections, especially the one at Spider Park out by the lake. I'm really pushing for that one.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
You mentioned you feel like the work's not done. What are some of the big priorities you have going into the next term?
The continuation of the Parks and Recs department, the continuation of like I said, keeping our waterways, our lakeshore public and accessible by our public, doing what we can. And I know this is pretty controversial, the Shoreline Drive road diet is, but one of the things I see is, you know, when we were kids, we were able to access that lake and crayfish hunt and snake hunt and do all those things that we grew up loving doing and teaching us about nature. And our kids that live in the resident in Mims or Nelson, Jackson Hill, aren't able to easily assess those lake fronts that like was when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to do whatever we can do to make those properties accessible for our kids.
Well, you answered that question because that was one coming. Here's another one coming because we've asked all the candidates this.
Sure.
What about, is it fair to charge people to go to the lake, the park?
Yes. Our residents get free. Are you talking about Pierre Marquette?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, our residents can always go to anybody can actually go to our beach. It's park is what costs us. But the reason for that parking fee is so that we could free up our parks monies to help and to refurbish and to renew our inner city parks, because all of our parks monies was going towards Pierre Marquette and the maintenance of it. And so, like, I grew up frequenting Reese Field in East Muskegon, and they have now a new $500,000 playground equipment. Nice. I would love to see a splash pad at Reese. I think as a child in East Muskegon, and we weren't able to get to, I mean, the closest lake, it's like Wolf Lake or Lake Michigan. And so having a splash pad for the kids there would be absolutely awesome. I would probably have a hard time not being in that splash pad anyway. Mm. So that's one of the things goals I'm pushing for, is that we could use some of that beach money, parking pass money, for that reason.
Okay,
our inner city kids and our East Muskegon kids lose out on a lot, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And so, and that's not right, and that's not fair.
Pastor Burns.
Let's talk about campaigning. As you've been out campaigning, running for your seat again, what are the comments you hear? Some of the comments you're hearing from the citizens in the community?
most of that has been about the shoreline, the lakeshore or shoreline drive road diet. Otherwise, I've gotten only good comments about the direction that we as a city have gone, especially now that we have, you know, new mayor, new city manager, new chief of police. People are liking what's going on in our city.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, talk about, have you seen where people said that the city has not been transparent? Your thoughts on that?
Yes, I have seen that. And with the hiring of Deborah Sweet, Santiago Sweet, as our communications director, that was another thing that I was involved in, getting started and getting that person hired. And to bridge that gap between the city government and the residents, mm-hmm. and keeping things transparent. And I know that that is huge on my platform, is the transparency and being forthright enough and upfront with our residents of what's going on with our city.
All right, it's 2:12. Again, you can catch us on WUVS 103.7 The Beat Facebook site or the M106. Remember, these shows play over and over again if you want to catch the candidates. Pastor Burns.
Some candidates we've talked to have said that they feel like all the neighborhoods aren't necessarily involved in some of the good things taking place in the city. Would you think that's a fair assessment?
Repeat that again, please.
I said some of the candidates have said they feel like all the neighborhoods are not a part of some of the things happening in the city. Would you call that a fair assessment?
I believe that we have some residents that don't feel that they are really a resident mm-hmm. neighborhood, and we are working and on changing that and inviting all residents to the table and hearing all voices. And again, that is a very large part of who and what I am.
Mm-hmm. With that question, do you feel that it's the neighborhoods that get out and vote the heaviest, that get the money, and the ones that don't necessarily get out and vote don't necessarily get a chance to be heard?
Well, voting is an avenue in which our voices are heard. Mm-hmm. And so encouraging those neighborhoods that have the lower voting tabulations to get out and vote, and that their voice is important, mm-hmm. Is one of the things we have to work on. I know that I've talked to residents over in Jackson Hill and Campbell Field, which is in my area, in my ward. They really feel like their voices aren't there's no value given to their voices. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are changing that.
Okay. Teresa, do you feel that there's a housing housing issue with the city of Muskegon?
With the what?
Housing.
We have a housing shortage. Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Yes. And then, I think that it is our housing shortage is affected by short-term rentals, because those that could have been a family home are now short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. And we are addressing that too. It is one of the commission's priorities to do something with that.
What about when it comes down to housing, especially new housing and new people trying to buy homes, the income assessment of, instead of using the city of Muskegon, they use the whole county of Muskegon to come up with the income to buy homes. Was that a fair?
No, I don't think that that's fair. I think they should just use the city to for city homes, for the city housing, not the whole of the county, because we have sections of the city of Muskegon that are some of the poorest areas, and no, we need to help those people become stakeholders and landowners and homeowners in our city.
That's right.
To the best of our ability. It's really tough since the pandemic because the cost of material is so high and the cost of labor is so high. And
right.
It's very hard to, you know, to build or to rehab a house at a reasonable cost now. At least reasonable in my opinion. I am a senior citizen. I am on a fixed income. And I've shared this during commission meetings. I live in a $20,000 home. Thank God. But, you know, that's not there in a part of our world now. So we have to seek funds and help for those people that can't afford it. We are doing that, making affordable housing, or at least trying to.
Okay, Pastor Burns.
And we've had a chance to interview the police chief a couple of times. How do you feel about the police-community relationship as it stands today?
I think that I'm very thankful for our police community, our police officers and personnel, because we don't look like other cities have looked like, and I'm thankful for that. I think our new chief of police is very open-minded and is steering us in the right direction now. I'm glad that we have a new police officer or a new chief of police. And I'm loving what he's doing with the fire department. That was very sad for all of us of what happened with our fire department over the last few years. And now we're growing again. We have a new engine downtown. That's awesome.
I was going to say, you see me smiling. You got a new fire truck.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And just kudos to Chief Kozel for the improvements that he's doing for our, not just for our firemen, but for our police officers too.
Continue with that question. How important was it to find that right person? Because you were part of that process. Because you look at the police and the fire back then, what was done was horrendous. And now, a major kudos to the public safety director.
Yes, that was very important to us as a commission to find the right person that was going to fit that bill. And you know, that was hours of interviewing and researching the people that applied. So, and I see our desires coming true for our fire department, police department.
Yeah, so
chosen the right person.
Right. Now, I asked everybody else this question. We have a special problem out here with deer. Your thoughts?
With what?
Deer.
Deer.
Yes.
Ah, yes, the deer. Well, I absolutely understand that. And if, you know, I grew up in nature. My mother was a master gardener. My grandfather owned a bait shop on Getty Street. He owned a farm out on Moreland Road. I grew up in farm and with nature. And so I love to see the nature as a photographer of nature. I've got lots of pictures of the deer out there in your yard, not necessarily in your yard, Greg, but out there. But there has to be a balance. And I understood that when I voted for the cull. You know, in one night, they culled 40 deer in one night. That was amazing. They had planned on it for 3 or 4 nights. And all of that venison went to the homeless shelter, to the rescue mission. So are we at that point where we should do another one? I'm not sure.
The question has been is that local city hunters have said instead of paying that meat, paying for those deer, why not issue licenses to local city people? Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was brought up doing a bow and arrow hunt.
Yeah.
And not guns, but so many of the neighbors, and I talked to many out in Beechwood Bluffton, and there were so many neighbors concerned about the about arrows just flying willy-nilly. So the only one that really wanted a bad was the country club. And I was like, well, maybe you can get one just for them, because I'm going to listen to my constituents out in that part of the neighborhood, that part of the city, and say no. You know, that we can't have hunters with big crossbows or big bow and arrows, shooting arrows willy-nilly all over the place. And a lot of people walk their dogs out in those woods and on the dunes, you know, so I was hesitant about it too. So
you definitely wouldn't want to be wearing a hat with horns. Okay.
No, Pastor, definitely not.
I wear that hat, yeah.
No, Pastor Burns.
Let me ask you this. Wrapping up your first term on the commission, how much different is it than you thought it would be? Tell us about some of the differences.
Than I thought it was going to be?
Yeah, how much different is the serving the 4 year? Well, of course, you had a pandemic. But
right.
Just in general, how different is it from what you thought when you ran?
It really isn't, because I was very involved with it anyway for years before I became a commissioner. I was actually begged by many in the neighborhoods to run years before I even ran. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't different. It is. You have to be dedicated to it. It is time consuming. I mean, it's more than 3 meetings a month. So, you know, I have my ward has 4 neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I attend all of the neighborhood meetings, and I still stay active with working in the pocket park or helping the neighborhood association with different activities that we do. I attend even actually more meetings than, you know, the planning commission meeting I attend, and just so many other meetings. Anyways, you got to be dedicated. You got to be willing to give up literally your life for this, and that I have done.
One thing I will say about Teresa is on the last point that she said, is that we were judging a chili cook-off, and it, You meet up with me, and it's just, what about the fire? And what about the, and yes. What about that road to, and what about all this kind of stuff? People don't understand that once you take that office, you got to get questions and approached everywhere.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Always a commissioner. Always.
Always
a commissioner. I never take that hat off. So. I love it. You know, I owned an income tax business for 14 years. I worked 100 hours a week, seriously, during tax season. And then when it wasn't tax season, I was helping the neighbors. I was mowing and I was blowing snow, and so I like being busy and staying active and having a cause. And my cause is doing the best for my city that I love.
Okay, we got 4 minutes, Teresa, left in this interview. Tell people if they want to find out more about some of the things you've done, your Facebook sites, your web pages, your information, to contact you. How do they do that?
Yeah, anybody can call me. My address is on Blodgett. You can stop by and say hi, or you can give me a call at 231-740-3505. I do have a Facebook page for my commissioner Facebook page. Facebook's not real easy to work with that page, so I haven't posted a lot on there. Mm-hmm. Most of it is on my own Facebook page because it's a little easier to do. So look me up. I post anything about the commission as public. So I actually am excited because, you know, when we took the Sappy, and Sappy was taken down, the rest of it. You know, I shot pictures and videos of that whole demo. Mm-hmm. And the guys at Melching gave me those rings that were in the fence and that's in the brick wall that had, they were wrought iron rings with gates on in them. And they gave them to me, and they've been in my garage for 6 years now. And okay. Mark Foreman from our neighborhood stopped and got them today, and he's going to refurbish them. And my plan is to put them at the Grand Trunk so that when you look through, mount them and put them there, and when you look through them again, you'll be able to see our beautiful nature behind there, the boats, the lake. So I'm so excited about that.
One quick last question. Will the city get the LST situation resolved?
We are working on it. We are strongly working on it. We want to save the LST. Okay. It's getting all parties involved to agree.
Okay. Do you see that as being a difficult thing to happen, or because that LST really needs to need to be on land?
Yeah, it is being difficult, but only because all the parties involved are not willing to cooperate and work together. But I'm hoping that we will get to it.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns,
a compromise.
Pastor Burns, last question to you.
Okay. Well, in our final minutes here, anything you want to tell folks out there who are listening as they prepare for the primary coming up about supporting you?
I'm just asking people to continue their trust in me. You know, I didn't know campaigning the first time, and I was humbled, literally humbled at how many votes that I got with doing no campaigning. I was humbled about how many people knew me and knew of me and knew my heart and my intentions and trust that. And that's what I'm asking people to do, just continue that same love.
Okay. So you're gonna write them checks, go to Blodgett Street.
Actually, I am. I do have signs ordered, and you know, I am going to. The hardest thing was asking people. To me, campaigning is totally a waste of money, and I need to be more frugal than that. And so, but I went down to the county clerk's office and said, okay, so if I do collections, donations, what do I do if I'm real frugal with the monies and I have lots of money left over, what can I do with it? And they told me I could give it to any charitable contribution, any charity that I want of my choice. So that made my heart happy. So I'll do one sign and the rest will all go to Heaven Can Wait, Feline Rescue, or the the rescue mission or the homeless or something like that.
You can make
made my heart happy.
You can make that check out to GREGORY. Okay. Teresa Emery, thank you so much, and good luck and Godspeed on your election.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me.
All right.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Okay.
That was Teresa Emery running for the 4th Ward of City of Muskegon. Look, we're going to come back. Jen couldn't make it. Talk about the candidates that are running in Muskegon Heights. We're not going to give opinions because my partner is the interim city manager. But listen, we're going to go run a commercial, and we got a few other things to talk about. This is our anniversary month of the show. I can't believe, man, 3 years of interviews. And only this is happening on your station. WVS 103.7 to be in M106. Nobody else is doing this. And so I have to thank Lady J, PA, Rob, Mihan, and so many other people that are doing that. But we'll talk more about that. We'll see you after the commercial. You were watching and listening to Torn Into on 103.7 to be in M106.
The 2nd annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Confident Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution, hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mason Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeat. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
And you're back to 22 on 103.7 to be on this fine August day. Listen, there are a couple things that have happened this week. Of course, another indictment of former President Donald J. Trump. That's a 3-week show. You've been bombarded. Here's the thing. If we're going to say this, we got to say this. A man is innocent to prove guilty. Love it, lump it, that's our country. So he has to go through the same court process that we're supposed to have. Fair. And people will go through a process, and not that the rich and the popular and the people with power have a second kind of court. Pastor Burns, before I go nuts, anything you wanted to say on that?
No, brother. I think we're going to let the indictment stuff pass for a while and let some things happen. We kind of knew this was coming. People got a lot of sources out there. Maybe later on down the road we'll talk about it. But we got indictment fatigue right now.
Yeah. And get ready, because you will probably see one in Georgia in the next 2 weeks. So with that said, that's the local, international, national news. Let's talk about Muskegon Heights. They do not have an election Tuesday, but they do have some candidates running. Let's talk about that. And Pastor Burns, why don't you lead us out with the mayor?
Okay, we have 4 candidates running for the mayor. They are the incumbent, Walter Watt Jr. We have one council member, Bunny McLaughlin. We have a former council member, Pat Jones, Patricia Jones. And we have a former city employee and former council member, Willie Watson. So we have 4 candidates vying for mayor.
Now, with that said, Bonnie McLaughlin running and she's a council person, would she lose her seat or would she retain her seat if she does not lose, win the mayor?
She would retain her seat.
Okay. All right. Now, there's a whole list of people that are running for council people. How many seats are open?
Three seats.
There are three seats. Okay. Yes. So let's go through the one by one.
Okay. We have the incumbent, Kelly Kitchen, who's running for re-election. We have Mr. Dari Hines. I believe he ran before. We have a newcomer, Ms. Lachey Simmons, and we have to distinguish. This is Lachey Simmons, the mother, versus Lachey Simmons, the daughter. Mm-hmm. We have Mr. Darius Mitchell, who I believe also ran before. Derek Collins, who is incumbent, is running. We have Vern Smith, who previously ran. I think he didn't win before, but he has been on council previously. We have a newcomer, Chelsea McKinley, running for city council. And we have a longtime former city employee, Robert Jackson, running for city council.
Are you surprised to see so many candidates run?
I figured we'd have a number. I didn't know who, but I figured we'd have a number of candidates. We have one incumbent, Marshall Cook, who's not running for re-election. So we figured, you know, incumbents, no matter what, usually have the advantage. And so when there's a seat where somebody, an incumbent's not running, you usually get a few more candidates.
Especially in the city of Muskegon Heights, incumbents usually have a huge advantage. And so we will be following what happens there because our intent is to do like we did with the city of Muskegon, is to talk to each and every individual, to talk about what they want to accomplish and why they ran. We are very adamant about this. We try to make it down the road, same questions, same amount of time, no advantage to any person. We've been doing this for how many years we've been running politics?
Over 20 years.
Yeah, we've been doing politics for a long time. Matter of fact, we're the only station that covers local politics and election coverage as well. We won't be doing that, I don't think, this Tuesday because it is two wards there to cover that information on Wednesday. But nevertheless, still important to exercise your right to get it to vote. These candidates that are running in the Heights, how important is that they knock at the doors and meet the constituents?
Oh, I think that's the single most important thing to do. Anybody running, I encourage them, get out and talk to people. Hear what they're saying. Let them meet you. That's the thing we always hear people say. They only come around when it's time for an election. Well, then it came around. So give them an earful. Tell them what you think. And I encourage candidates to listen. Greg, I need to give my disclaimer now, and I will do it a couple more times. For those of you who don't, since late February, I've been serving as the interim city manager in Muskegon Heights. I'm part of the campaign election team as well as part of this radio program. So I will not be participating in the interviews for the mayor and council people. I don't want to give anybody the impression that I have a favorite candidate or preferences. And certainly, as interim city manager, I don't think it's appropriate for me to conduct interviews. So, if you see me participating, it's not to any particular candidate. I won't be participating in any of those interviews at all.
Well, brother, I appreciate it. We're going to miss you doing those interviews. Although we know that you would be fair and impartial, but it is, the Bible says, stay away from even the appearance of evil. So we don't want to give anybody that thought that you are going to for one candidate or another. So again, we have several people running for mayor, going against the incumbent, and we have several people with, you said, three seats.
Yes, three seats open. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 candidates.
Now, for those candidates, okay, do us a favor, okay?
Eight. I'm 8.
Do us a favor, and the next opinion that you hear is not brought to you by Melvin Burns. This is brought to you by Gregory T. Roberts. If you have any problem with it, see me. Candidates, look, we have a hard time calling you. We have your number. We have your emails. We try everything to contact you. If you do not call us back, if you do not email us back, it is not the responsibility to get you equal time if you will not respond back. It drives us nuts trying to chase you. Please make yourself accessible so people can hear your views, your ideas, and opinions. And we want to hear from everyone. This radio station is not segregating against anyone. So make sure, show yourself friendly and get yourself and get an interview. Call the radio station first. Matter of fact, call us first. The number is 231-727-5007. And make our lives easy. Ask for Lady J. Thank you. Okay. Now, with that also said, this is our anniversary month.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I came up with this idea to do this, I was just fed up with the news just being so slanted on the channels. That's why we came up with the name Torn in Two. We have later changed it to News, Information, and More, where we talk about more than politics. We need your help, Muskegon. If you are doing a project, you have something going on, you run a business, or if you have something that you would like to talk about, hear us talk about, we need you to call Janae. That number is 231-727-5007. That's Lady J. 231-727-5007. One of the things in being in this business, and people that have been watching us for 3 years have known this, and Pastor Burns, you've seen it as well, that the show had been scheduled with somebody, and at the last second, we lose that person, and for an hour, we have to make sure that we are on top of our game, because the show must go on. Pastor Burns.
Yeah, we've seen it happen a number of times, and we do our best to not entertain ourselves, but to, again, news, information, and more. And so we know it happens from time to time, and we have things we can talk about, but it does happen to us periodically. You know, 3 years ago, we were talking about COVID. Man, how long ago was it? Well, we were all locked inside talking about COVID. We were getting ready for an election. So you think about how much the world has changed. We had insurrection since then. So you think about how much the world has changed in the last 3 years that we've been doing this. Man, we've been blessed to have some tremendous interviews locally and nationally. So we're thankful for that. Again, we want to, as you said, we want in the next couple of years, we want to throw out that invitation to people. We've had some tremendous local guests.
A couple come to mind,
I want to single out, but a couple come to mind, people are doing things that just had no idea, and some fascinating stories. And so radio is still a tremendous way to reach people. Still a very effective way to get your story out there, to get information out there. So we want to encourage people, not just to do this radio program, but keep in mind it's on Facebook Live and it's repeated. So we want to hear your stories. We want to interview you. We tend to not beat people up on our program too often. But we want to encourage you to contact us and give us a chance to hear your story and ask you about your story.
And actually, we have interviewed people all over the world, even Dubai. So we interview people across the world, and we will cover subjects that are pertaining to you. But we need your help, especially if you're doing something out there. The interview last week, Pastor Burns, those two women were just bright in the businesses that they did, but the medical side of that just kind of blew my mind. And we're going to have her on as well. We're going to try to reach out to some of our favorite people and see if we can get them on. Let's go to the board. Jeanette Moore, hello. Jeanette Moore is running in the second ward against the incumbent Willie German. And so you'll be seeing her name and signs as well. One thing I want to talk about, Pastor Burns, I think you can talk about this one. It's something that drives me nuts when it comes down to politics. Political signs, people. Can we talk about this?
There's some things people need to know.
There's some things that you need to know. Okay. Less is best on a political sign. Your sign should not look like a art piece at all. Wild crazy colors, skip it. Your less name should be bigger than your lower name, your first name. It should be vote for Roberts and what ward. Anything of this other stuff, it's confusing. You can't see it. You got to drive past the sign 8 times to try to understand it. Then you're mad because you did that. People, please, please, with your campaign signs, make them simple.
Let me give a few technical suggestions. First of all, your signs are not supposed to be in the right of way. And I'm saying this, there's the curb, then a little piece of terrace, then a sidewalk, then your yard. The signs are supposed to be in the yard, not in the terrace. Secondly, signs should not be on public property. If you put them on city property, city parks, city hall lawns, if they're taken down, don't get upset and say who did it. They should not be there. Sometimes people are courteous and return them to you. Sometimes they don't. But again, they should not be on any public property. It shouldn't be on religious property, but I'll leave that to everybody to make their own decisions. But they should not be on city property at all. And I agree. Look at your color scheme. Hold it up at night. Make sure you can see it. And then, I know budgets are tight, but you also want to make it of a size that people can see it. You know, the 8.5 by 11 isn't going to cut it.
And another thing with sign, the number of signs are not necessarily impressive if you just got them spread willy-nilly on property that has blight. You just putting the sign all over the place. There was a race last year where they put signs all illegally in a place that they had to be picked up. That's not impressive. What is impressive with your signs is that they're in neighbors' yard, people's yard, where you can read them, where I can see that my neighbor has a sign. And I go, oh, who is that candidate? That is just some of the things that we need to tell you. And the last thing is, man, it is hard picking up them signs when you lost that day.
I was going to say, when you have your campaign meeting, I want you to pick out a crew of people. Their assignment is the morning after the election to go up and pick up your signs. Now, if you win, you might forget it, but let me tell you, if you lose, you want to get those you want those look, I have been on the crew that went out that night. After that night we lost and picked up signs. I've done that late night work.
Oh, it is the worst feeling after you have lost an election to be out that night after you've had to make comments and stuff like that to press and stuff like that and thank your campaign team. And the last thing you got to say, oh, by the way, we got to go pick up those signs. So I guess, so let's take this opportunity to thank people that are running.
Yes.
Because it's exciting to see the incumbents come back and run, but it's exciting to see that we have new blood and people that believe in ideas of a person can make a difference in their area. And there are a lot of things that need to be discussed. There's one problem, though. Right now with our country is so split right now. Gerald Ford said this. You got too many people to the right and too many people to the left. Not enough people in the center to get things done. And so we need open-minded people willing to work with people to get things done, because you are voted by people. They voted you to do a job. They didn't vote you to be a stool pigeon stuck on stupid in one side or the other. They vote for you to get things done. So there's something for those people to think. Hey, Pastor Burns.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, and again, you and I have spent our lifetime around politics, is people who we see run and kind of green and really become good council members or board members. I'm always impressed by that. People that they, you know, you got to go to meetings, you got to read and do your homework. I think Ms. Emery, who we just interviewed, said, if you think being on a council or commission is two or three meetings a week on Monday or Tuesday night, you know, take your hat, don't throw your hat in the ring. It's going to neighborhood meetings. It's going to group neighborhood groups and all kind of other community groups that meet. It's reading the information that's sent out by committees and managers and department heads. It's reading that information, going through it, asking questions. And if you don't, it's evident and it's obvious, and I'm not talking about Michigan, I'm talking about, and I've been worked in Ohio, I've worked in Dayton, Ohio, and Sydney, Ohio. It is always obvious when board members, commission members, council members have not done their homework. It's always obvious, sometimes by the questions, sometimes by the lack of questions. And hopefully your constituents deserve your best effort. Doesn't mean you always have something to say or a question, but they deserve your best effort. And that effort is more than showing up for that meeting.
Well said, my brother. And the last thing, the last subject that we have to talk about is 254. The views coming are the views of Gregory T. Roberts. Melvin Burns, Pastor Burns might want to touch him. He might. I don't know. I'm giving him an out on this. But I have to talk about.
I'll see you next Friday.
I have to talk about what's happening in Washington with the age of the people that are serving in Washington, to the point where they're serving with illnesses, serving to the point where they can't, and you said doing your homework, where they can't even make decisions on how to vote without being told. We just saw this with Feinstein. We also seen McConnell.
McConnell.
Go blank for 23 seconds. We've seen people with their second and third hip surgery that can barely move around. Listen, thank you for your service, but go spend time with your grandkids and great-grandkids and get out of the game, because you're holding up progress trying to hold on. We have more millionaires in Washington, and we have more people that are serving that should have been retired a long time ago. We thank you for your service, but go home. Pastor Burns, you want to touch that?
So I'll ask you this, and I don't know if we've discussed this before. So there's talk now about age limits, although I think they may have to, I think it may have to be constitutionally. I don't know. But let's talk about age limits for president, Senate, and House. What's your thoughts on that?
My thing is that we have people say, well, age limit, and you can serve for so long. We already have that in place. It's called you getting out and vote.
Thank you.
It blows my mind is that you see a person that blanks out for 23 seconds, or if you see a person that can't even answer a question, but you still vote for these people, and you see that their health is bad. Am I in favor of it? The thing is good people are good people. If you are able to continue the job, day-to-day grind, and vote with a conscience, then great. Keep the job. But the rest of you people understand, not only is it their job, but it's our job to realize, to look at it, and not be so stuck on that D or that R or that I by your name, but to look at all these people that are having these health ailments, and not only that, these people that are too stuck to the right and too stuck to the left and not getting that damn thing done in our country, going to hell because you are so stuck in your corner. Pastor.
We hadn't talked about it before. I'm not a proponent. I'm not even a proponent of term limits. I know a lot of people are. Your term limit is every 2 or 4 or 6 years. That's your term limit. You know, people act like somehow, you know, that you're obligated to vote for an incumbent. You know, but we got a choice. No legislators. We can talk about the Supreme Court another time. No legislator gets a position for life. So every 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, you can say, you know what? You've been in too long, or you're too old. You get that choice. You know, Dianne Feinstein, excellent representative for First State, but man, that last election, she should not have been out there. You know, it's such a disservice to somebody who served like she did to see her being wheeled around like that, and just a shell of herself. To see McConnell there, it's like that's a concern.
Yeah, we don't want to see people go through that.
Yeah, but if you can still serve in your 70s, 80s, I don't have a problem with it. You know, people make a big deal of President Biden. One of the things I always say is, keep in mind, he's also a stutterer, and I'm sure that gets magnified. He's got, he's always had that slow speech, and so as you get older, it slows your speech. But he's in his 80s, and if people are concerned about his age, guess what? They have a chance next year to express that concern.
All right. It's the end of time for the end of the show. We usually end the show saying this: go out and sow a seed in somebody's life. You never know who you get a chance to affect. But I'm going to change it up this week. If you are married, really go out and take advantage of being married, but go out and bless that person this weekend, and let them know that they are appreciated, and or you have a spouse that you've been with for years and stuff like that, and guys, put a ring on it if the women have been waiting 5 and 6 years, and go out and do something nice for the person that you are with. And I ain't talking about if you got 5 and 6, because you shouldn't. Okay, that's been Pastor Melvin Burns and Gregory T. Roberts. We'll see you next week on Tour of the Two. Take care and God bless.
God bless you.